This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri and I'm having that mashdown day with Aaron Green from On The Clock. And we're having an exciting conversation about even our culture. See, I just was talking to Aaron on the break about crime and whether crime is cultural. And this is what we're going to discuss on this side. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to play a short clip. I see that the Minister of National Security made a statement. And the statement was, the only way we're going to stop murders is if we stop producing murderers. And that is our challenge. And I'll read it again. The only way we're going to stop murders is if we stop producing murderers. And that is our challenge. And I'm trying to say, are we producing murderers? Is this a part of who we are? And this is where I get betwixt and between on whether the Minister of National Security is copping out or whether he is shining light on us, a dark version of us. And to add to this discussion, I have a short clip. I just have some clip by some foreigners, some bright-skinned people from the foreign land who have some commentary about living in the Bahamas. And I'm not sure if anyone have heard this as yet, but I wanted to play this because it plays into this theory that perhaps our problem, perhaps our crime problem is a cultural problem, right? So producer, can you play that clip? And then I'll prod at Erin and let her try to save us because I think our problem is us. Go ahead, producer.
If you love the beach, if you love close access to the United States, and if you really enjoy pushing rocks uphill, the Bahamas is for you. It is a constant struggle to get anything done. It's a beautiful, beautiful country physically, but it's just a very difficult infrastructure to get anything done.
If you have property, for example, I am not joking you, almost every day there was a power outage. And you have to go, you know, hopefully your phone is charged, so you can go onto the Bahamas National Electric and see, okay, when are they going to turn on my power? What's going to happen? And you just don't realize how bad it is, especially with the heat and everything else. So I don't mean to disparage the Bahamas. I mean, the people are amazing. My wife keeps saying that, you know, that she's never met as friendly individuals as there. But you have to take into account all these things when you move to another country.
And the good chairman said he doesn't mean to disparage the Bahamians. But it is what it is. And what he said is...
No, he said because they are very nice people.
No, but I can skip over that. What he said is the problem with the Bahamas is having Bahamians live there. You know, that's how I interpret it. And I said, no, this just man can't be serious, right? But I listened to it both four different times. And I concluded the man is okay. Blaming the problem on we. So and then, hold on, Aaron, I still venting. Then I listened to the Minister of National Security, and he said that the problem would be what's happening now is us. We are producing murderers, right? So I said, again, the problem is us. The problem, and I've heard this when I was working in tourism, right? Working behind the gates there, where they said the only bad thing is in the Bahamas is that we have too many Bahamians living here. And that narrative is repeating again and again. And I'm saying, what you mean by that? Mm-hmm. They said that we are responsible for the crime. We are responsible for the blackouts. We are responsible for the bad customer service. And I'm saying, Aaron, how do we deal with that if the problem is cultural?
Okay, let me tell you how we deal with that. The first thing we have to do is figure out who is this we you talking about, right?
You?
No,
I see how you drive.
You see how I drive.
I see. See, the whole face changed.
That's because you ain't watching the road.
I'm watching the road.
So watch the road.
Okay.
You see, that thing that Wayne Monroe had troubled me, are we, you know, because we are producing the murderers. And that's only half wrong. The only question is, who is the we? Who is producing
it's
the murderers?
It's not you.
No, it can't be me. I have a feeling I know who it is, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same we that's responsible for the power not being on.
The same we?
The same we, right? Because it ain't... It ain't me. It ain't Bobo on the road. Now, sometimes it's Bobo on the road who's driving, just bang up into the pole and break up the pole. Mm-hmm. And BPL like to tell us a lot of times that, you know, that's the problem when you have these little outages because somebody had an accident and it hit the pole, right? And I'm thinking to myself, how is it that we live in a hurricane zone, mm-hmm. right? And you have poles up that's supposed to withstand up to, what, category four, mm-hmm. category three, category four.
100-odd wind.
But you can't stand a little paso running into you every once in a while.
No, a little rain.
Or a little rain.
Sprite. We call it Sprite.
Extreme flooding is going to
not
be...
Not flooding.
No, right. But I'm telling you, extreme flooding is going to be an issue for BPL and all of the people responsible for infrastructural issues. The tree drop in the road by Sun Fun this weekend. I'm sure that's due to saturated ground, due to excessive flooding frequently in that area.
But that is also right? due to, over a period of time, us seeing it.
That we've seen the problems happening, and I think you said it best. When we see it, we don't correct it. And that is the problem, the enforcement of these things when we see them.
But this is the point. If it's anybody who is producing murderers, right, then surely it is the people who have a responsibility to provide a service, right? There are people who are supposed to make sure that children are in school.
Definitely.
Right? There are people who are supposed to make sure that people are living in accommodations of an appropriate standard.
Checks and balances.
But there will also be government officials who will blame the same people say, well, if you didn't have that many children, you would have made sure your child in school. So the blame is now being pivoted from the checks and balance that we're supposed to have
right
now to society. It's like we know society is broken. And I, who are a law-abiding citizen, every time I complain and say, y'all got to do something, yeah. you say that you are part of the problem. But I ain't doing nothing, man.
You know, the question.
I'm paying taxes. I'm driving on the left-hand side of the road.
You're doing what you're supposed to do.
Ian, the question of bail, right? Has a human right become a hazard? State actors are trying to convince us that they need to breach one of the most basic, fundamental human rights, right? They need to breach that right to get their job done, right? When we know that a part of the reason why people are getting bail is because the judiciary itself cannot process its cases in an efficient and effective amount of time. They can't get we have to be very careful how we talk about the judiciary and in particular judges, right? Mm-hmm. But there are a number
of... You don't want to be run all the way to the States and never come back.
There are a number of...
Yeah, I know some people like
that. Oh, Sam.
Okay.
Listen, I'm making a serious point here, right? That if anybody is making murderers of us, then perhaps it is the people who have a duty of care, have a legal or statutory obligation, but as opposed to fulfilling it or coming to the people and telling them why they can't fulfill it, mm-hmm. they want to look at us and tell us that, oh, you know, we're going to have to breach the Constitution to run the country properly.
But there are some things you have to look at in that particular narrative. We see a lot of persons, like you said, the backlogs in the court system. I think there is a lot of lower standard cases that are clogging those particular, whether it be traffic, whether it be petty things. I mean, I'm just saying there's a bunch of things that we can solve, like minorly. Like we could say,
take care of the pennies and pounds to take care of themselves.
Yeah, basically. So when we start to do things like that, I think by decluttering the system itself like that, then we can address the real situations that we have in the room. My thing is that a person has the right to bail. However, if you're coming for the exact same case you've been on 2 and 3 times, I think that sends a red flag that something's wrong here. I mean, just saying, it's an opinion of mine, but it's like you're on bail for murder. You're not alone. You don't just get one bail. You got 2 bails or 3 bails for murder. That's
3, 4, 5 years pass, and you still didn't get the case tried
yet for the first one.
Exactly.
See, that's the problem.
That's
not
the
bail is a problem. The problem is the case is not being adjudicated quickly enough.
And then that individual will say, justice delayed is justice denied.
Yeah, but it is denied.
It is. Right? And so these are the things that we have to grapple with. And I would say to all state actors, is this is the second time This is second, at least the second time with a statement of such gravity. The first is when the prime minister said, oh, we may have to breach the constitution to run the country properly. I don't think people understand how detrimental that was. And even more detrimental is the lack of appropriate response to a statement like that. Yes. And now we are at the point in our society where people are looking you straight in your face and saying, what you think this is, miss? Stealing coconuts is not a crime. I have had people tell me that to my face.
But the coconut tree belongs to Jah.
Coconuts is not, no, not taking coconuts off your tree, you know. They didn't say, miss, taking them coconuts out your yard isn't a crime. They said, stealing the coconuts out your yard is not a crime.
But this is where it starts, and the correction has to happen. You're taking something that does not belong to you, right? And you're justifying by taking it. They say that it's only simply a juju. It's only simply a canep or a plum. No, it's more than just that. Because if you could deprive that individual from whatever it is that they own, that's not going to just stop there. You're going to go through your whole life thinking that it's okay for me to do that, or it's not big, it's minor.
Listen, I know this boy. He just tell me the story. He wake up. For whatever reason, he fell asleep at the front of the house. He wake up because the boy them are trying to take the bumper off of the car, park right next to, on the other side of the wall where he is. So he jumps up and he deters them. They go away. 2 days later,
they come back.
Well, we don't know if it's them. We can't prove that in the court of law, right? Of course. Two days later, he look up at his coconut tree. All the coconuts gone. Mind you, for the last 2 weeks, he's been trying to get somebody to take the coconuts out the tree, you know. He had a plan, you know. In fact, I was supposed to buy some of the coconuts from him, you know. But those guys probably look at the coconut tree and say, well, you can't get mad if we come and take the coconuts. At least we ain't take the cart off your car.
But the thing is, one of the days when we used to knock on the door, and if I see something that belonged to you, and I said, excuse me, sir, I see the coconuts up in here. Is it possible that I can get some coconuts? Or can I get some juju, preferably? I saw the juju or the mango, and let the person say, hey, yeah, I was ever looking for something. Just leave me to a tree on the ground. Like, you don't want to ask somebody anymore and say, can I have it? Mm. You just want to go there and say, I want to take that from you or deprive you from having that.
And then demand that you ease up. Mm-hmm. Demand that you catch sense. How dare you call me a criminal? Listen, I only teethen the coconut.
Aaron, we have an enforcement problem across the board. Like you say, you're going into government departments and you have a lot of these persons in the front there, so forth. And they're very rude. There has to be some level of supervisor and managers that can write something. A suggestion box should be in every government department, in my opinion.
But I'll challenge you, Aaron, and ask you, who in the Bahamas are doing the crime? Is it the men in society, or is the whole society going bad? Is it single parent women households producing these criminals?
It's a mix.
But we need to find out and designate that this is the problem and address that problem.
Before you play the song, Osam, Osam, it could have been easy for me to believe that only your boy Bobo and don't want to go to Waco, right? Only Shaquilla and I ain't gonna squeal on my man. They would have us convinced that those are the people at the root of the crime crisis, right? The women who refuse to take care of their children and refuse to stop having baby. But what our friend Sam has shown us, right, is that crime comes in all colors.
Well,
and it
Jesus.
Comes in all classes, right? And it comes in from every direction. We have a cultural, I think the root of our crime crisis, because I had asked, you think it's a, is it a male, is it a crisis of masculinity, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it can't be just that. Is it an economic crisis of people turned to crime because no other solutions are working for them?
It's a social and economic
crisis. Is
problem,
it an education crisis, right?
Lack
are they
of education.
Leaving school without the ability to navigate the world legitimately?
You know what's a crime? And I'm going to say it. It's been 6 months, no, less than that, 4 months since the commissioner of police said that he's going to come and report on the accused of having the MP knock down the police officer. Mm-hmm. He ain't come back yet.
In fact,
and he said, I'm going to report to you next week. 1 month gone by, 2 months gone by, 3 months gone by, 4 months. That's a crime. He need to get sent home. Something is wrong with that. And mm-hmm. all he had to come to do and say, but we had found no evidence that the MP knocked the police officer. And I was going to be end that because no, I wasn't going to question him. The idea that he has yet to come, even after promising us, is a problem.
But see,
that is a contempt towards us, and that's a crime.
See, the commissioner can have somebody that is investigating it. The commissioner doesn't go investigate it himself. When the investigation is concluded, it'll be sent to the commissioner, and the commissioner then will address it.
See, that's the same thing. That's the same thing I told FNM. I told FNM, I don't care that it's 2021. I'm still waiting to hear the results of the investigation about the fire at the station. Right? I'm still mm-hmm. waiting to hear the results of the investigation and how the report was leaked to the media.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting to hear where the Oban file is. I still waiting to hear an official report on the fallout from Alstom. Mm. Alstom. Look here, where a member of the board appointed by an FNM administration
mm-hmm.
went to court and was found guilty. And almost gone to jail proper.
Almost.
Until he had to say out loud, if y'all don't pay this bill for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, all of those things. All of those things. So when a state actor could get up and say, right, like, who is producing the, we are producing the murderers. I want to say, I'm going to need you to refine that we.
Who is this we?
To a sharp.
Who do we ask?
To a sharp, perhaps it's the people that have a statutory duty of care to perform and don't and still collect their paychecks.
I love that silence.
When the police ask the boy, why you teething? And he say, to pay this electricity bill because my Grammy have diabetes. And her medication needs to be refrigerated. And my uncle has HIV, and his medication needs to be refrigerated. Why I Robin? All I want him to do is look at all of the people who are responsible for why. Why? See, when I was telling y'all that I grew up understanding that your electricity bill was going to be the same as your mortgage, and we right back there again. We are right back at that point. Where people are paying the same in rent as they are in the electricity bill. That creates crime. That creates murderers.
All you're saying to me, Aaron, in a nutshell, is that we're not creating enough persons that have the capacity to think outside of the box, and rather we're going to have a lot of sheep that is just going to follow the instructions of the said persons. And this is why we have to challenge our system and challenge the government itself to create opportunities for these people to start to think outside of the box. We started discussing on industries. We started to say how the car wash guy cleaned 5 cars and he make $100. But in the Bahamas, we have one of the largest boat registries in the world. Here goes one of the industries. The individual young man could be able to learn how to clean these boats that we have around here, which will make thousands and thousands of dollars. They have underwater cleaning also. That means so many other things. We're in a maritime, we're in a key place. For boaters. So there's things like that that should be emphasized and implemented. We're looking at the structural system of BTVI, what it was then to what it is now. We're saying to you that we already see the problems. We have a problem with me saying that we're bringing in all of these foreigners. Then we need to create an institution that will now open the door for these young individuals to get into these trades. You have bilingual, you have underwater welding, you have persons that are dealing with gemology, you have persons that are going to deal with everything that we have foreigners coming in here to do. We should have had a facility facilitating the skill for these young people in the Bahamas moving forward for the 21st century.
But you see what happened. You see what happened to BTVI, right? They turn over what? They turn over as many financial officers in as many years. Right? The BTV. And so when I asked a question a couple of weeks ago, who is supposed to assist Bahamians, young Bahamians, turning their labor into a job, their job into a career, their career into an industry. who is supposed to be doing that? Well, I have a feeling they're all busy trying to get into politics.
But it's a national plan. Having a national plan, all of these things should be implemented. We're talking about the great minds of our country in terms of having a think tank. I thought that we would have had a think tank. All of the great minds should have been employed to think about ways our country could be propelled. We have internal and external persons, great-minded people, Bahamians. We have to use these ambassadors, these intellectuals, to make our country go forward.
I mean, absolutely, and create a culture where it's possible for them to do that and still live. I see we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Oh, yeah, sorry. Let me pause. Mr. Nuri.
I see you messing up the show. You trying to claim other people's show. The audacity.
Oh, no, I just attempting to mash
you
up.
You trying to mash you down,
I'm trying to say.
Good morning, sir.
No. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Everything's great.
And welcome to the show. This is Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And I have a guest host here who's Aaron Green and Ian Munnings. And I'm excited to have you join
if
me.
If you'd like to make a call, please same thing. Hang up and try again.
What happened to the call?
Hang up and then dial your operator.
Tell them call again.
Tell them call again. See, you crossed me, missed my guest. But I want to say, right, that while the guests call back, right, and we speak to them, just now, there were four people who attempted to rob RBC. Is it means that Christmas has come and that it's a proliferation of crime? Or is it that we are, again, like what the minister said, that we are breeding murderers and criminals and that we are responsible for those four people robbing the bank?
I agree. We are producing everything that is produced here. But the question is, who is the we? And who has the
greater, village.
Who has the greater responsibility?
The village.
No.
It's not.
My neighborhoods don't rob.
No, I can tell you why.
So which village? Your village?
No, I can tell you why.
What about my village?
I can tell you why I say that. That is the egg that came home to rooster, because the reality is, crime is not subjected to just one particular set of people or one particular area. Crime is based on everywhere in the
there's no robbery on my street.
Where there's none on your street now, there could be one on your street tomorrow.
No, I police in that area.
You police it, so you have a crime watch there. You have a crime watch.
Of course we come and have a crime watch.
You have a crime watch there in your vicinity. You have a crime watch.
Yes.
What happens on the boundaries of that?
But I only can police that little section.
But the reality is, it's going to take all of us as Bahamians to do our due diligence and our job.
You are not doing your part.
I do in my part. I'm identifying the people that have a statutory duty of care. I identify the people that have an ethical and a moral duty of care, and I'm asking them, what is it that you need from me and the wider community to get your job done, right? See, the Ministry of Tourism doesn't think that it has a duty of care in this crime issue, but has the Ministry of Tourism ever thought about the impact, right? The impact of the knowledge that the government and the Ministry of Tourism would be subsidizing tourists to come and sleep here and enjoy the Bahamas while Bahamians don't have a bed to sleep in.
Yeah, definitely. But I still want to know if it's me. If it's you.
It's possibly you, and it's partly me.
It's partly
me. Yeah, it's partly me.
I guess so.
No, because, I mean, technically, if you see the problem and you see the solution, then that means it's yours to solve it, right? I don't think any of us are doing enough. I think all of us could put in 5% extra. All of us could put in 5% extra, minimum, right? Minimum. There are some of us...
I can embrace that.
There's some of us, though, that need to realize that equality says we all put in 5%. Equity says that you could afford to put in 25%, and you should.
But what about the national psyche? We are now having Bahamians who is claiming that the pirates have never been expelled, that they're expecting bad behavior, this corruption is part of who we are. And if that narrative is true, or if Bahamians start believing that narrative is true, then we give up. But now we are now purporting. Yeah, anything that goes wrong, don't worry about that. We always would be in pirates all our lives.
I don't understand why you keep casting aspersions on pirates.
You want pirates?
First of all, pirates had a moral code.
They had
the pirate code.
But it's wrong, man.
They followed. Who did they rob?
They robbed Conky Joe.
You know that when they say, you know when they say pirates expel, commerce restored, that the commerce they were talking about was trading in Africans.
It's trading in African bodies.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, see, y'all want this Billy and tell McFarlane he can't come back here, right? McFarlane, he say, look, I's a pirate too. Mm-hmm. Why won't y'all let me come back home? Mm-hmm. I feel really at home here. But I just have one thing to say to Mr. McFarlane. Cousin, you know you can't just write no letter to the Prime Minister and say, please forgive me of my sins, right? You didn't figure that out by now?
People just write the prime minister all the time and they just get things.
No, no. Do they get forgiven of their sins?
Oh, well, they just get to bring in pleans with for dogs. They just get to say they ain't paying no more tax increase. These things is part of who we are. It's part of what the problem is, you know?
Special treatment.
Special treatment.
I didn't people sign off
able,
on none of that.
People able to build houses without permits, and I still here got to wait on permits and documents and money.
But listen, if I have an opportunity to move to Life at Kia, Albany, or Old Fort Bay, I would do the same thing.
Well, that's true. Your benefits.
I mean, you know.
Because they said they ain't from over
the
hill.
It's just about a choice of shanty town.
But remember now, they said they ain't from over the hill.
No, because they have a nice shanty town. They not an over-the-hill shanty town. Or no, Family Island shanty town.
Because whatever happened in outside of the woods, that don't affect them. Bear in mind.
That's the definition of a shanty town.
Oh, okay.
And what about gang activity?
Well, I think that's going to be one of the major foci, right, of the government. How are you going to disrupt gang activity? And particularly, how are you going to disrupt youth gang activity?
Youth, sports, and culture.
How?
They have to engage
when the gang is a family.
You have to engage them.
But the gang is a family.
But there is a reason why these young people are going into these things, the unwantedness, or like Aaron described. She looking at my boy on the corner, my boy giving him $10, and that's my boy hero. Because there's no man dumb. There's no man standing up or standing in the gap to say, hey, little man, you need to go to school. Where those men did used to say, go to school. And we having these basketball programs, and we having these other educational programs, and we implementing these things because you have too many things going on. But my man would come in from the house with all those issues that you had going on. Grammy got this going on. That's the social service problem now. They supposed to be going to these houses now and figuring out what's going on. We have statistics on everything. We should supposed to know what's happening. So I don't know.
I was about to say, those people have a statutory duty of care to do those things. That's why we put the blame on them.
It's enforcement. See, it goes right back to the enforcement thing. Because if you're on my front desk, as you're an employee to the government, you're an employee to the people, and you have a nasty attitude, that means either you're not supposed to be to the front, and you're supposed to be somewhere to the back, mopping the floor, but not to the front.
Why you keep blaming the person with the nasty attitude? I don't want it to sound like I'm attacking you. What I'm suggesting is that even when you go into a workplace and your first line of engagement has a poor attitude, right, then I would say let's focus on management, because how is it that people supposedly have a good job and come to work and still have these attitudes, right?
Yeah, I see that.
I don't know.
See, I don't employ nobody.
I don't know.
See, I don't employ anybody.
I was working like everybody.
He's Afrocentric, so he may have an idea
It's about a statutory duty of care, right? Here we are, we having a whole conversation about the minimum wage and the livable wage. Right, and we've heard very little input from social or socioeconomic advocates, researchers, scientists, right, talking about the negative impact of the wage gap, right, living at the poverty line. Or we've heard from a business people saying how hard it's going to be to be able to do anything with the increase in the minimum wage or a livable wage. We need social scientists on the ground talking to us about the impact of these things.
We still have Bahamians living in shacks in New Providence. I wouldn't even go on the island. And then you still got Bahamians that are having outside toilets. See, these are main issues in our country. You have to start to address these issues.
And this is where I again push the issue of the psyche, the national psyche. We are beating down behemoths to have an inferiority complex where we settle for less, where we tolerate this type of ill behavior. And until we start treating the mind, treating that we should expect more, do more, and make more effort, we'll see that we'll always be to the bottom. But I see we have several texts here, and I'll let Aaron read the text here. Go ahead, Aaron.
Good morning. I don't think it's a matter of blue or white collar crime as much as it is who commits the crime. Many quote unquote prominent citizens that have gotten away with quote murder unquote. Just saying. The political, well, I would call it the political class determines who is worthy of incarceration and who isn't worthy of incarceration. Another text, great show as usual. We are not producing murderers. The problem is we don't like rules. Look how we drive. Look how we litter. Look at our customer service. Anything buck up goes.
So that speaks to law enforcement. So that goes right back to Wayne Monroe and the Minister of National Security, and not necessarily us. I think in the main, Bahamians, and numbers show that the majority of the Bahamians are law-abiding citizens.
Definitely.
Now, there are a number of us who like slackness, who like get tipped, who like to who look left and look right and will run the red light. But in the main of serious crime, robbing and thieving and raping and pillaging, Bahamians are not like that. So to say that we are producing murderers is an untruth. We are not producing murderers.
But I would say that a jaywalker is a red light runner, and a red light runner is a murderer. A jaywalker is a red light runner, and a red light runner is a murderer.
I hear you trying to say that. No, they're going to be two different things.
But why not?
If there is no striped stripe walking thing? You have no other choice but jaywalking. The crime has been committed by the state.
Yeah.
Because it's their duty to actually have that visible. That's their duty. Just like when I pay road traffic.
So therefore I have to jaywalk.
When I pay road traffic.
Now, if you had told me there are no sidewalks. See, if you had said to me there are no sidewalks, so someone is forced to walk into the road.
No, the indicator in the middle of the road is clearly what you use for that purpose of jaywalking.
No, it's also being in the road when you ain't supposed to be in the road.
Yeah.
Right? And so sidewalk is a perfect example of the state making criminals out of people.
And that's where I'm hinting towards, especially if you traverse on Bay Street as a resident and you see the police officers directing traffic, or because the Bay Street is the most policed area in the Bahamas, and you see tourists walking and don't minding the jaywalking code sign, whatever it is, and the police looking at them say, "Don't they're just tourists." Again, that plays towards the Bahamian psyche, and whereas we are responding to it, crime happens because it's a learned habit, and we are learning from our police officers, our law enforcement, that you can get away with crime because they're enforcing it for everybody,
depending on who it is.
Mm-hmm. I still say that those people you included in the petty thing, they are also criminals. Because you run a red light once, you run a red light twice, the third time you run a red light, you're supposed to get serious about making sure you don't ever run a red light again.
Aaron, if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, don't expect Cecil to stop at a red light.
I'm not talking about...
I'm not talking about... I look left and right.
But we're not...
You better catch me.
We're not talking about 1 o'clock in the morning. We're not talking about 1 o'clock in the morning. We're talking about 8:30 in the morning on the way to work this morning. We're talking about tourism actors trying to blow other tourism actors off the light, knowing that the light is red, knowing why they're not going. I'm saying that behavior shouldn't be in the category of...
Because they endanger other person's life. See, you have to always think about the next person, because if you speed across the red light like that, you could hit somebody else's car and that could cost their life. So, you know, you have to be responsible. And I think, like what CA says, for the majority of Bahamians, I think that we do have a care in terms of what happens in our country. We do care about our country. We do love our country. And we do have a problem with the murders. We all should have a problem with the murders right now, because the reality is... Every mother and father and grammy and uncle and person that have somebody that died, and we call it unfortunate or untimely death, these young men are products of the soil, and they have to realize their worth. But the reality is some of them do not really understand their worth, and this is why they are finding themselves in these particular situations. You said earlier with lack of education, maybe because of their poor state that they may be in. But these are all questions and all answers we have to answer when we engage these young men. We have to say to them, what is the problem? What is the statistics in terms of finding these young men a skill or a trade to get them working? Because most of the time we find back in the day, Cecil, when we were younger, in the ghetto, when those gangbangers that we know were gangbanging, the minute they got a job or they got a girlfriend and they started to work and then they started to travel, they wasn't interested in the gang.
Okay, pause. When they started to wake and they started to travel, you know how much money you have to be making to be able to start to travel?
1A Sudra, that's Bahamian style.
Yeah, that's, I think, a couple weeks ago.
1A Sudra is still Bahamian style.
Yeah, but you had to get the first draw.
1A Sudra is still Bahamian thing. Whenever he get his money, he get $3,000. He jump on a plane for the first time and realize, hey, the world bigger than just where you is. And guess what? He don't want to get in any problem anymore.
Opportunity. We need lack an opportunity.
I think it's more than that. I think it's about what opportunities, like you say, Cecil, it's a psyche thing. What opportunities exist here and what can we expect? If you grew up in the Scarface era, right, with you a Bahamian man, who your favorite movie at any point in time was Scarface, or probably is still Scarface, right? Then what motivates you?
Aaron, you like Scarface. I don't know what happened. The poor Hispanic with just coming from one place and making it big, that would have something big for you then. I don't know. I love Cocaine Cowboys.
No. It's a similar movie. I don't like Scarface. You're missing the point. The point is that there are a vast majority of men who at some point in time have said that Scarface is their favorite movie. You say it ain't Scarface for me. It's Cocaine Cowboys. I can't even say it right. I don't know what them things are about. What I'm saying to you is that if these movies and these types of movies are integral parts of the Bahamian masculine or feminine psyche, right? Scarface, Cocaine Cowboys, right? Then how do you motivate those people to work? How do you motivate those people to strive in a community that cannot provide them anything that they associate with the image of a man that they want to be?
Campaign skill.
I don't understand.
We have to run campaigns. And we have
Not me. You sound like a politician.
You as a body.
They like running campaigns.
In fact, I
will argue that that has not been successful. That these promises, right, that have only driven young people deeper into criminality.
Because
they now lack trust, because you destroyed it. Because in your attempt to become a government, you try to convince them. What they say, through me, they say through Christ, with all things, I could do anything.
But through me, the politician,
you could do anything.
No, see,
we've sold them a dream cannot fulfill.
Don't say we can as a whole, as a body. The reality is every man, every woman is charged with the responsibility to do their part of their country, to make their country what it is.
But
every man and every child.
But who are you putting this charge on?
Every man is a Bahamian. If you have a Bahamian passport and you're Bahamian, you're charged with it.
Ian, get past the generalizations. Let's talk about the actual lived experiences of Bahamians. What you telling me is that you expect the little boy who grow up in the Bahamian mud, right? He grow up off Fate Avenue. He grow up off the road where Coca-Cola is now in the shanty town in the back there. Mm-hmm. He's grown up with 5 siblings. He's grown up watching his mother be abused and raped by any man that come in the house because that man was willing to put things in the house for the children, right? Mm-hmm. He himself may have been raped. He have every girl he's tried to initiate an intimate relationship has been a victim of some sort of sexual abuse, right? Mm-hmm. He get locked. The boys, them who get thrown on the bus and driven out to Adelaide to get beat up.
Yep.
The young men who, and I know a couple of them, who mm-hmm. get hook up their young civil servants and just petty, miserable, disgusting people have messed up their life forever. Who are you putting this charge on? Does the charge lay equally on that young boy as it does on the Minister of National Security, as it does on the Prime Minister? Does that charge lay the same? Do you have the same expectations of them? And then why don't you demand more from them politicians?
They're the leaders. I mean, anytime you're in a leadership position, Aaron, I believe that you have the grave responsibility to ensure.
But are you seeing that play out? Did we see that play out in the pandemic when all of us were supposed to be subject to the same health care? Right? Let's use the hospital as an example. The hospital will never get fixed. The healthcare system will never get fixed if politicians are not forced.
Did we make them accountable? The question is, did we as a people, as a body,
are you making them accountable?
Okay, we're talking about it. Did 500 Bahamians, 1,000 Bahamians, did 10,000 Bahamians go downtown and refuse to move and park all of the vehicles there?
But Ian, here's a better question.
Have you
refused to engage with other Bahamians who are not serious about this? What are you doing and what sacrifices are you making?
I'm glad you laughed.
To show the politicians how serious you are about your critique, not complaining, about your critique, right? Are you committed to telling your friends, this is my journey, and if you don't commit to these ideals, don't watch nothing. You don't have to be on this journey with me.
But stick a pin right there.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to take a commercial break right now. It's my 45 minute there.
Yeah, yeah.
This has been Guardian. We have someone on the line too? No, we can do that. Call them on the next side. So it's going to be Guardian Radio in AM. I heard we have someone on the line. As soon as we get back, I'll come directly to you. We have a brief break right now.
Producer, play that song I asked you to play, please. We're about to go to a break. It'll be our last break before the end of the show. So while I have this 3 seconds to continue rowing y'all, right? I think it's incumbent upon us, the people, to not just say that we demand it, right? But in our own lives, to take steps and actions that show our peers, the political class, that we are serious about making these commitments, and we demand that they be serious as well. Because the two meat culture ain't saying nothing to nobody, but hey, it's two meats. You could get to the table. Producer, thank you for taking us to the break. This is Jones O' Jones by Blind Blake.
If anybody in here can tell me if they've seen old Jones. Jones O' Jones, boy, you know you can't last long. Jones O' Jones, you better bring my woman back home. Got a 4 foot down, you'll rip me, gonna buy me a gallon.
One in every four people in the Bahamas face some level of food insecurity. Through our annual Feed 5000 program, AML Foods remains steadfast in our commitment to help those struggling with hunger and will donate 5,000 to provide holiday meals to families this Christmas. But we need your help. From November 14th to December 19th, show your support and donate at the register at any Solomon's, Costrite, Solomon's Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's locations in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
To meet you, Jones, you know it ain't no use to run. I got the omelets down, you bit me. Undertaker too, and here's the studio doctor's offering me money for you. I'm going to keep you for myself. I'm going to kill you dead and bury you. Gonna dig you up for fun. I'm going to stand and watch the buzzard pick the meat off your bones. I'm going to take my wet and put you. Gonna chop you through and through. I'm going to chop you.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM and Guardian Radio AM.
You wanted to say it.
Joy with On the Clock, Aaron Green. And we have our guest host today, Ian Munnings. We're talking crime mostly, right? And on the break, I was talking to Aaron, you know, what is tragic? And Aaron evoked some emotions to me, get me all teary-eyed, to remind me about the incident with the little girl who had the tragic accident on the park. At, I can call a school. Like, what a school is? It's a Catholic school, mm-hmm. which has been closed down, right? But they have a parquet set. And I remember the bishop said that the school is closed and the gate should have been closed so they do not have the responsibility.
Hold on, wait. That's what the church issued that state?
I remember the conversation on the news that because the question was, why haven't the bishop or the church visited the lady, the parent of the dead child. And I remember the statement saying that the school was closed and they under investigation on what happened, how you get access to it. But to me, that's a crime to itself because I believe, because it's on your property, because the swing set wasn't bolted down, because, you know, if you drive by, you see that kids have access to the property Be it through a hole through the wall, gate open, whatever it is.
Because you know it's the type of things on the park are attractive to kids, so you know it's likely that they will attempt to make their way there, even if there is a indicator that they shouldn't be there, mm-hmm. right? I stand to be corrected. The owner of the property has a duty of care.
Of making sure the place is secure.
If nobody is supposed to be on it, that it is secured, that if it is potential that the children could access it, that the things that are there are safe.
Yes.
Right? But you telling me that they actually...
I will use a loosely, just in case, even though I heard it on the news, in case, give them a loophole. My point is, the tragic event that happened there was a crime. It was a crime against humanity in terms of the child is now dead, right? I think that the church has a duty of care to compensate the parent, a duty of care to address the emotional the concerns of the parent. I think they have a duty of care of securing the premises. They have a duty of care to the community, her friends and family. And since that incident has happened, we have heard nothing. I think the media has a duty of care of going to see what is happening,
following up,
and nothing. I mean, just gone quiet. So again, that's a crime against us. That's a crime against the human society, and that breeds more contempt and breeds more crime.
Right. And so when I talk about who we laying the blame on, Ian, this is also a mother that I think lost another child prior to losing this child. Right. It doesn't matter how she lost the child. It doesn't matter what activity the child was engaged in or she was engaged in. Like Cecil said, there are statutory duties involved, and then there should be a moral duty of care and an ethical, because you are the church, an ethical duty of care to do something different. At the very least, ensure that the young lady has access to psychosocial services.
Definitely.
The same thing with the Carissa Culmer case, right? If you were purporting that the young lady had mental health issues, right? And she needed to be in a safe house or in a safe place, why would you put her in that style of safe house where there is no oversight? There's nobody really there to tend to her as a patient as opposed to a tenant in a space, right?
Or the situation with the young lady that went to the police station for help. She sat in there with her two kids and she was going through, didn't find anywhere to live, all that kind of stuff. I think she worked at Wendy's. She drove the car off the ramp in Montague.
Oh, it's a while back.
You remember that,
right? With a lady and her two kids.
It's saying that there's a lot of trauma. It says that more people need to be held accountable. It's saying that we have an enforcement problem in our country. We're saying that we need to start to correct these situations rather than compounding more problems and more problems.
Right.
Like you said, the church has the responsibility. Because if you created that environment for that, like you said, psychologically, that mother is going through trauma already.
Right. And at a cultural level, do we understand that some things are because you acted, right? And people say, well, Cecil tell you, I don't have nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. I isn't on the road when that happened. I don't know them by them.
No.
And then some things are because we didn't fulfill our duty to act. Because sometimes we think by not acting, we have no impact on the situation. But our absence of action also impacts the situation. Okay, it is 11:54, Mr. Newry. Can I read some of these texts?
Go ahead, man.
All right. Great show, as usual. It's hard for Scarface not to be someone's favorite movie. It's a classic. I just watched it twice yesterday. I think it's silly to not acknowledge the place that Scarface would hold in the lives of citizens, black-skinned citizens, brown-skinned citizens of a post-colonial country in the 21st century. Another text, Aaron, we were in trouble from the 80s. The only problem was the drug money was flowing and everyone was happy. Now DEA clamped down and it's every man for himself. So the murders ramp up because we never really created a country that was progressive. Man, Scarface, the Godfather, loved them all. What stopped me was going to church and having the fear of God. Another text, CA, if I have secured my property, but people cut my fence or in some other way breach my property, why would I be responsible for harm that comes to them while they are trespassing? That is generally the case, but this is a playground. And with the children's equipment visible to children from outside the property, there's an extra duty of care that you expect that children would ignore the rules or break the rules to attempt to play on the playground.
What would Jesus do? That's why we ask. What would Jesus do?
He would do the right thing.
What's the right thing?
He would go and engage that family, and whether or not you felt that you were responsible for it, like you said, there are certain things that were supposed to be in place, and normally I know when they close the school, they have security there, and if that wasn't in place and was not law, then you gave an opportunity for those person or those children that may not know that the school is closed to say that, like, want to play on the park.
Or that the park is closed because of the condition of the equipment that they want to play on. Another text, Aaron, Google FTX in the NBA, FTX in Major League Baseball, FTX in Mercedes Formula One, FTX in Japan, SoftBank FTX in BlackRock Investment Fund, FTX in Sequoia Capital Fund, FTX in the EU. Aaron, FTX was global. He was doing everything on his computers, and that is locked down or on a flash drive and in his head. You see, the feds ain't no... what to do. I knew what to do.
But Aaron, that's let the Americans deal with them other set. Yeah. Let's deal with the FTX Bahamas.
Definitely.
This is our jurisdiction. We'll handle our section. Aaron, and the other people handle their section.
I keep saying, we should have learned from the Clico incident and all these other prior incidents keep coming in and these persons coming in to do business. We need to have X amount of dollars in escrow. And if you decide that you want to be Jack the Ripper or Jack the Mover, we can have this money in holdings and we're going to protect the...
We did better this time. We secured the property.
Well, and, the property was ever ours.
And we will sell it and then pay those people who need...
Play something else to end the show. We can't leave the people...
Well, the property 3 minutes.
The property was ever ours, you see?
Yeah, but yeah, we the idea is...
Here's the government, we can always pay it.
See, these are Bohemians who are here and who invested. We'll pay them out first, and then those employees, we'll pay them out second. Or whatever.
By what, selling the property?
By selling the properties.
And we have to find a buyer that's willing to purchase it.
Don't worry.
Once it aligns with the requirements of the legislation regulating the space.
But if you had X amount of dollars in escrow, I wouldn't have to worry about that.
If I had X amount of dollars in escrow, you wouldn't even know my name, buddy.
Execute.
I would be out of here. But I think, you know, the question is it really... What are the cultural attitudes towards crime in the Bahamas? How do we moderate our own behavior? What is acceptable and what isn't acceptable? Whether we're talking about Sam Bankman-Fried or we're talking about the Fox Hill roundabout shooting last night, right? We have to get into the psyche of the people. The Minister of National Security is only half wrong. I mean, mainly wrong. Mostly wrong. But partially right.
However, the kettle burl, Aaron, I still gonna have the address. Payment should be first. And you everything when you deal with business, international or local, we have to think about Bahamian people being first. Period.
Absolutely. Mr. Nuri?
Yeah. I'm saying that we just need to invest our time and energy in securing the Bahamas. I embrace the fact that it's everyone's up to the bat or everyone they put their shoulder to the wheel, but just definitely the services, the police force, the defense force, government institutions need to do a better job. This blaming nobody and everybody ain't going to be the solution. It just can't be the solution.
It hasn't been working, and I would imagine that it's been driving crime, right? It's been a factor driving crime. It increases the trust deficit. It is just a problem. Last text, Mr. Nure. Morning, miss. Why people obsession with Scarface? He was racist against Bahamians, calling us monkeys. Well, I think, you know, similar to a sentiment that Mr. Nure shared earlier that he has realized is spreading. The Bahamas is a beautiful place, but for the Bahamians.
This has been Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nure and, of course, Aaron Green with On the Clock. And our guest host today, Ian Munnings. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.
I've been doing wrong, but I do right in the moment, that's enough.